Minnesota basketball fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Timberwolves and Gophers edition. And we probably should just go with the Gophers edition because the Timberwolves are an embarrassing. They're just embarrassing. It's a bad one. But we're gonna talk Timberwolves, but we're gonna go Gophers first. I still can't believe they lost that game. And I'm not talking about the Gophers. They fought hard on the road. We'll start with that game just like we did last Thursday. As far as post game here in Illinois, unfortunately the Gophers dropped one on the road. It was a close one though. I liked how they kept battling back. It just seemed like Illinois had the answer every time we would cut the lead. But welcome back, like I said, to the Living in Loserville podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us very, very shortly. So, yeah, we're going to start this puppy off, this Minnesota basketball podcast with the Gophers, because why do we want to talk about the Timberwolves? No, we will. We will. We got to cover that debacle, if you can call it a debacle. That's putting it lightly. But, yeah, we'll talk about the what's up with the damn Timberwolves, right, in general. It's a rough one, and you know, talking about the Gophers as well, Autour, the last two games has been looking for some help. We talked about, you know, the bench and how we have some issues with depth there. An injury tonight didn't help that out. But we're going to talk about a variety of stuff here on the Living in Loserville podcast. And if this is your first time listening to it, you can find it right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives right here, but you don't have to just listen to it on Blog Talk. Of course, we're, you know, available all across the board. You just find this show, Living in Loserville, under the Rope It Over Radio podcast on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Spricker, Stitcher. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found all across the board, including Spotify and TuneIn. In fact, if you use your Siri or Alexa through that Spotify or TuneIn, you can find both platforms. Why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com? They changed it. It's not net anymore, although it'll still link you to it. Thegruelingtruth.com. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. Thegruelingtruth.com. It's basketball, football, boxing, baseball, everything in between. And one thing real quick, if you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you cut the cord and you're just not happy, you need something. I got something for you here. It's called AT&T TV Now, and that's not to be mistaken with AT&T TV. I know I've had a little issue with that, but the AT&T TV Now is the streaming service. It's not the normal cable thing. It's available everywhere. 7-day free trial is there, so you don't have to get tied in down to any kind of annual contract. The plans start as low as $60 a month. It includes HBO. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR as well. That's AT&T TV Now streaming live cable. Okay. So we will be getting to that Timberwolves stuff, but we're fresh off a Gopher game. The Gophers fall in a tight game on the road at a ranked Illinois. Not the biggest shocker there. Illinois did kind of start out slow, 1 of 9 from the field. You could tell the intensity from the Gophers defense really showed up early. I think it was like 6-3 early, like 6 minutes into the game. Very low scoring game. But then the Gophers went cold as well, horribly cold. 4 of 18. All the way up to the first 10 minutes, and also featured 12 straight misses. And we talked about this last week. Arturo is playing great, right? No doubt about it. Arturo is playing great. And I'd say he did okay in the first half, kind of got bullied by the big dude. Once big dude got hurt, or not hurt, got in foul problems, which hurt their team, then he went off. And that's where he made most of his hay. But you're looking at him early, and he's 3 of 4. The rest of the squad is 1 of 16. We saw that at Michigan State at home. We'll talk barely about that game, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Then back-to-back threes, got it to like 17-11. with 7 minutes left in the first half, and they just started playing really well offensively and defensively, especially defensively. Illinois did. Carr had some fall problems, had two falls in the first 6 minutes. And when you look at minutes, we talked about depth, too, and we're going to bring in Aaron here in just a moment. We talked about depth, and we're missing a starter this game and whatnot. But they put up a stat during the broadcast. Three out of our five starters are in the top five of Big Ten minutes. We're definitely going to need Carr down the stretch, so hopefully that point guard that came in can give them some Band-Aid minutes. 3 minutes here, 2 minutes there, that type of thing. But it was just, it was rough. There's like a 12-minute stretch again where they just couldn't do anything. Finally, Oturo got an end one. That kind of stopped, it from there. But they were 1 of 8 from three. Overall, neither squad did much from three. That Colburn, he had about 40 or 50 pounds on our guy, and you could see it. You could see it. And I also noticed that the Gophers missed a few bunnies close to the rim that we sure would have liked to have back, no doubt about it. Just in this first half of play, Aaron, what are your thoughts? Although it was fairly close, we're having problems scoring the basketball, everyone besides a guy named Arturo from Creighton-Durham Hall.
You just needed someone else, I think. A poor shooting night all around except for Oturu, and maybe he could have done a little better. Like you said, missed a couple bunnies. And you can't have that. I mean, you end up losing by 9. A contribution from anybody else really would have made the difference. Kelcher didn't shoot the ball really well. Carr, was in the lane and out of the lane, looked to pass a lot. Wasn't really hitting shots. So I think it's just a cold night on the road except for one player. Now, you mentioned the big guy from Illinois getting in some foul trouble. I would suspect that was part of the game plan. So that worked out. And obviously you played defensively pretty well just to give up 59 points. And, of course, Illinois didn't shoot as well as they probably would have liked to. So just kind of a late January Big Ten grinded out road affair. We ended up on the wrong end of it. But that first half, there was hope there because, kept it close and kept coming back, or the lead kind of fluctuated from time to time. But you just needed another player or two, but, just that extra little bit, another player, maybe a bench player, maybe one of the starters come up and contribute a little bit more than they did, would have been a much closer game in what was already a very close game.
Right, so it's 24-20 at half. I talked about a couple of those bunnies right at the rim that they missed. And then you add up 8-0 on fast break points. That's a lead right there. Now, they did kind of have the Gophers had a decent start very early in the second half, but that didn't last long. Illinois got hot. I think they hit 6 of 7 field goals, got up 36-26. And you're talking like 5-6 minutes in there. And so you're like, okay, well, this could get ugly, but unfortunately for Illinois, and, it was nice at the time for the Gophers, that big man and the point guard, Frazier, both had three fouls apiece. We're talking about the right around 14 minutes left in the game. Now, Carr also got that extra third foul, or that extra foul to make it three with 13:55 left. So that was a whole lot of, issue there. However, what's that backup's name? We haven't seen much of him, the point guard.
Trey, you talking about Trey Williams?
No,
he's kind of an off guard.
Came off the bench today. Greenlee. He played some Band-Aid minutes, but we went on a run. We didn't really have Carr on the bench that long, but they went on a nice little 7-0 run, cut it to 41-35. Carr started dishing and scoring a little bit, and then he picked up his fourth one. And I got to admit, it was a questionable call. There was a variety of questionable calls down the stretch, maybe about 2 or 3. I'm not trying to say there was 8 or 10. But it got to the point where it's 42-38, 10 minutes left. And Kulcher finally hit a three, but he was struggling, 1 of 8. It's not like the Gophers had a ton of turnovers, but they were timely turnovers that hurt them a whole lot. And it seems like every time we cut it to 2 or 4 or whatever, Illinois would come back, and it usually was like a quick bucket at the rim. So it's about 3 minutes left. It's 50-45 after a little 5-0 run by the Gophers. Like I mentioned, Kulcher finally hits the three, and he also got a bucket. That's what got him to where he was. 50-47, 2:41 remaining. Demmer had a nice little game in the second half, 8 points, gave us a little spark. And then 2 great moves, one off the dribble and one kind of down in the post by Aturu. 52-51, 1:43 left. There was a questionable call on Demmer on that charge where he kind of – did he pull out the – well, it wasn't. It was a blocking. We thought it was a charge. He pulled out the chair just like they were talking about the broadcast, like Pitino told him to. And somehow that was a foul. I didn't really see too much contact there. Maybe they said like the feet got tangled up, but to me that was more of a accidental feet got tangled up. But, you know, it is what it is. But they just couldn't quite get it down the stretch. 3 of 19 from outside. Like I said, Illinois didn't do much better. They didn't fare much better at all. But both bigs, they had the big, right, in Colburn or whatever the hell his name is. And do they pronounce his name differently just because of how it's spelt? Is that what's going on? Because it's spelt Cockburn. I'm just saying. And you don't want that. You don't want that combo together. But I kept saying, hey, what are they – how would they – is it Colburn? Is it Colburn? Like, what are we – why are we pronouncing his name that way? But I guess it's French or something. But either way, that dude and the other dude, I think he looked like an Eastern European, no offense. But a lot of these Euros come over, and they're great players. And they're hitting the college ranks more than they used to. But he hit a couple of free throws. So the big man hit a couple of free throws, and that pretty much did us in.
Yeah, sorry, man. I thought I had taken mute off. Yeah, you know, you go with I think that you're right about his name. I think it might be, like, English. Sometimes a name like Cockburn in English would be pronounced Colburn. I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty sure that – there's a lot of English words like that. I can't think. None of them come to mind, but I know that there are. So I think they pronounce it Colburn. And, you know, to be honest, if that was my last name, I would like to be called Colburn as well. So I think that
I would have already had it changed, you know, legally.
Yeah. Can we just take the C-K out of that and just call it Colburn? But nonetheless, yeah, he's a big dude. And, you know, Oturu's going to have to put some muscle on, I think, if he's going to go to the league or – but I thought he held his own. I mean, he was the one Gopher that really shined. And I'd like to kind of maybe get into a little bit of what's going on with Kulcher. Your coach is saying that he wants him to drive, but maybe that's just not Gabe's thing. I just really think he found a cold shooting night on the road for him. And I think this, you know, the Big Ten road thing is really a real thing because you know, it's not just happening to the Gophers, with the exception of, like, the really elite of the league, that being, like, Michigan State, and I don't really know who else is up there in the top. But, you know, the Michigan State seems to win on the road. They seem to be the only ones really doing it. So, I mean, besides a spot win and a spot win there. But, you know, you just can't couch it as to no one can win on the road because you got to find a way to do it. I just think Illinois is a much improved team, and they put together some good players and matched up well. You would have liked to shoot the ball better. I mean, I don't want to hit the nail on the head more than that. But, I mean, that was really – I didn't see any lack of effort. I didn't see any – you know, the officials, you're right. There were some calls that were a little bit questionable. But, you know, that's home cooking in a way. And so, yeah, I just feel like it was what it was, just a road loss to a good Illinois team. And, you know, it's, on Kulcher, it's just – I'm wondering if he shouldn't be trying to drive, and maybe he's just a pop guy out in the threes. Maybe that's what he does. And, I mean, you can make that work, but like we said last week, we'd like to see that three kind of starter thing going with him and the point guard and Oturu. That would really be a nice combination if they can get that going, and it seems like they get it going at home. They need to kind of get it going on the road. And if you shut down the pick and roll inside, Kelcher's got to hit those shots home or away, and vice versa. If you shut down Kelcher home or away, you've got to have the two-man game inside. And it just seemed like that wasn't all working on all cylinders tonight and ended with a, you know, not a disappointing loss because like you said, it was sort of expected. It would have been nice to maybe pull that win off, but, you know, you kind of figure you're going to go on the road, play a tough team, and it kind of worked out the way you and I had it thought it would.
Right, and that Minnesota game or Michigan State Minnesota game at home. By the way, Willie Burton, the third most points in the school history, got his jersey hung up, so that was pretty good. Good old Willie Burton from the late 80s. You know, that there was no surprise that was going to be a defensive struggle, especially at the start. And it was just like a couple of big runs. There was a 16-2 run in there from Michigan State. And you know, we just didn't – we had some energy off the bench in moments. It was only 30-22 at half. But it just – I don't know. Ochoa got his fourth foul with like 10 minutes left. They were down 13. Not much else you can say about that one. They just got beat by a better squad, no doubt about it. As far as Kelcher, you know, I think he showed last year that he can score in a variety of ways. He's not just an outside shooter. I mean, especially down the stretch last year, he was up there as far as leading the team or with him and Amir Coffey. So as far as scoring, so I think he can too. It just for whatever reason, the guy shot, what, 40-41% from the three last year, and he's right around 32. I'm sure it's worse now. So he's just got to find his groove. Maybe, I don't know. I know he had the ball a little bit more last year. Sure, definitely, now that we have a point guard, and he is just trying to find his spot, but we need him to knock these down. We talked about it before we got on, that he's our shooter. You know what I mean? He's our guy, and we definitely need him to knock it down, no doubt about it. When you look at, you know, where they stand, this Illinois team, Michigan State, they're both 8-2 on top. A lot of teams, three teams with three losses, Rutgers, Maryland, and Iowa, all kind of jumbled up there. It still goes down to the seventh spot, only three games out of the first place. We're only 3.5, actually, out, now that I look at it, based off games, because we have an extra game right now. But they're 5-6. The Gophers are right now, and not a big shock. We said, hey, if we can get to 5-5, let's go from there. Wisconsin just lost their second leading scorer and a top player. He's off the team now. He chose to leave. So hopefully we can get one from them. We got a home and away from them. But if you look at our next five games, these are going to be crucial. We got Wisconsin at home. I think you need that because it's a home game and we need a win. We can't go 3 in a row. At Penn State's going to be tough. Another home game, but it's against Iowa. Going to be tough. Then Indiana and Northwestern, those are almost must-win games. I mean, they are. Not must. They are. At Northwestern is not as hard as it used to be, especially this year. So these next five games, Wisconsin, Penn State, Iowa, Indiana, and Northwestern, 3-2 needs to happen. Because then we'll be back to 500, and then we'll have the little stretch run left of the season. So it's there to be had. We still got that potential to be 9-9 or 10-10, I should say, in the conference and get in. We're right on the bubble. Like there's a couple of bracketology guys now. The Fox said we're off the bubble. We probably are off the bubble now. You know, or we're first four out, I should say. We're right on that bubble, but the bracketology before this game on ESPN, the guy that really kind of sets the standard for it and has the track record, Lagardi, I think his name is, he had us in as an 11 seed. You know what I mean? So we're still right there, and we still have plenty of games. I just mentioned a couple of them, ranked teams, and we know we still could win a game and then get a chance to go against another ranked team when that Big Ten tourney comes around. But 3-2 at the bare minimum, Aaron Hart, in these next five games.
Agreed. And, you know, a little talker, Chris, you brought it up a little bit earlier, like to kind of maybe go into it. Just the lack of bench on this team. And, you know, you got a upperclassman like Michael Hurt, and he doesn't contribute as much as you think that he would. Jarvis Omersa has a lot of energy, but not really in a second season here. Not really maybe as productive as we thought he would in the overall scheme of things. And then you're really young after that, and you got to think that maybe Patino's just holding guys back because of the youth there. But you think you'd get more from Hurt and Omersa, but that's a big thing. And like you said about the minutes played by the starters, it's really starting to get up there. And I just kind of want to pick your thoughts. I mean, am I thinking the right way on that? Just kind of the youth, and then you know, hoping to get more from Hurt and Omersa, or is I missing something there?
No, I think you're right there. I just think maybe some of these guys he sees in practice, he's like, there's no way we're putting him in a Big Ten game. We did get a little bit more out of the youngster, the true freshman, long, lanky, skinny dude. I can't remember his name now all of a sudden. It just escaped me. I'm going to look it up real quick. It's a, what the hell? It's like, it starts with an I. Eham or whatever the hell his name is. Enan.
Yeah, 35, yeah.
Enan. Now, he was one of five. He started out pretty well, Enan, but he gave a couple of, you know, a couple of good minutes here and there, too. But you're right, Hurt. You know, you're a senior, dude. Like, hit some threes, get some loose balls, do something off the bench. Yeah, I know Mursa's an energy guy, but it's really just a Band-Aid energy guy. A couple of minutes there, he gets a couple of rebounds. He's a cheerleader on the sidelines. I do think his junior and senior year, I think we're going to see more out of him. We're going to need to. But, yeah, I think it's just youth and not getting anything out of Hurt. I mean, really, these last 2 years, we got more out of him his first couple of years. We sure could use just 10, 12 minutes tops out of him. But yeah, that's a good point, though. This depth is really catching up, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and then Trey, you know, like he had to fill in to start tonight because the other kid was hurt. But, you know, he's also a bench piece that I think needs to kind of build. Now he's a true freshman. And you know, I guess we just need to see a little bit more from the youth. But we're seeing kind of what this club is. And we've got, you know, five solid starters, four and a half maybe. And we're going to try to push through with those and try to get what we can from the bench. But you're right about the next five games. I mean, you got to come out 3-2. You've got – I'm not going to call it a soft five-game schedule here, but it's a favorable one, I guess is a good way to put it. And you know, got to get that Northwestern. You know, tough game with Penn State, but you got to get them. Maybe you can steal this Wisconsin one. And maybe, you know, the best-case scenario, you get 4-1 and gives you a leg up for the last stretch because, you know, you really got to make hay here soon. And this stretch is just prime for it. So you just really got to take advantage of the opportunities that are – coming your way.
Yeah, you're right. Got to take advantage of it. They got to refocus. They gotta just stay. That's what you got to do. You got to stay calibrated, I guess. Okay, yeah, you lost one. You're gonna fly home tonight or take a bus home, fly home, whatever it is. And then you just got to get out of your mind and go get the W the next time. Big win over Wisconsin would definitely re-spark them. And yeah, I think 3-2, they'll be in great shape. 2-3, then you're like, okay, this is we're gonna have to upset someone that we don't normally necessarily have a chance to beat per se. That's it for the Gophers. Still well within the NCAA tournament, but yeah, that 3-2. If they start to go 1-4 or 2-3, we can start to talk a little bit about that three-letter word, NIT. So anyway. Before we get into an embarrassing display of, can you call it basketball? I don't know. But, before we get into that, obviously this week, basketball wise, you know, a legend of the sport, one of the better players, no matter where you rank them, we're not going to sit here and talk about that, but Kobe Bryant, his daughter, 13-year-old daughter, seven other folks, I think it was another coach and their daughter, which was friends. They were going to, you know, the Mamba Academy, went down in the helicopter, just a tragic event. And you could really you can really see how much a guy like that meant to the game. Just from, you know, what we've seen lately, I did like how the Wolves, at the beginning, I liked how all the NBA teams ran off 24 seconds, and some people did an 8-second thing too, but I liked how the Wolves on the home court put the ball at the start. Wiggins put the ball right, where Kobe passed, was it MJ? For points, right there where he took the shot. That was pretty freaking cool, but as far as Kobe Bryant goes, as a Timberwolves fan, obviously you weren't big fans of the Lakers, you know, in the early 2000s when we started, KG started, you know, really getting it together. I remember before that, you know, conference final run that year where the Timberwolves finally got a fourth seed. We finally got some home court advantage. Now, who do we got? Did we find out who we got yet? Oh, it's the Lakers. That's right, because Shaq was hurt that year, so their record wasn't as good as it would be, and we got them back in just in time for the playoffs. And then, you know, obviously the year they beat us without Cassell, you know, and so we didn't like the Lakers. We didn't like Kobe. We didn't like Shaq. You can respect people, but we didn't like them. Let's be honest about it. But once KG got shipped out of town, I still went for the Celtics against the Lakers in that one series. So, two series, actually, sure. But once that happened and our Timberwolves, the home club, didn't have a shot at anything, we've been in that stage since then, basically, besides one year with Jimmy. But, by the way, that Jimmy, without Jimmy's looking pretty fun now, isn't it, guys? Anyway, let's get back to this, though. You know, Kobe, man, it was shocking. And it just really, you know, it just kind of makes you sit back and go, I mean, appreciate the guy for what he did and whatnot, but also just as far as taking advantage of minor stuff, major stuff, it just makes you think how quickly life can be taken away from you. And another thing, you know, it hit me more and more as I found out, you know, and found out more, and then you find out his daughter was with him, you find out all the other people on the, you know, helicopter were gone, and it just hit me in a wide variety of ways. It hit home in some ways too, but I thought about it, and gosh, if that was KG, I definitely would have been shedding a tear that day. I mean, not to say that I didn't shed a tear over Kobe. It's not like that. Just I've seen pretty much almost every game of KG. Even when he went to the Celtics, I watched a lot of their games. So, you know, rest in peace to Kobe, man. That was a shocker, man.
Yeah, not a lot to add to that, man. I thought you said that pretty well. I mean, to me, my thoughts on Kobe were, he's kind of like analogous to my thoughts on Aaron Rodgers. Like, you love to hate him, and you hate him not because of the person they are. It's just they're so good, and they're just constantly, you know, beating up on the team that you like, or you know, you can't get past them in the playoffs, or, you know, that kind of thing. Just, you know, the rivalry type of thing. But, I mean, there's no one can argue the fact of how good Kobe was at playing basketball, and it seemed to be a pretty good guy, too, and it's tragic about his daughter. And like you said, you know, You got to value the time that you have, because you just never know when it's done. I mean, this guy's just trying to save time and spend some time with his kids, gets on a helicopter,
right,
to go from point A to point B, and, you know, and all the other people that were there. And it's a tragic thing, and I guess that happens in life, but you just don't see those type of things coming. But, you know, they do. They never stop. And so, you know, best wishes to him and his family that remains, and the families of all those people. It's just a tragic thing. And, you know, you can't put fault anywhere. You can't put blame anywhere. It's just one of those things that happens, and you just have to process it and move on. So we can just be happy that we saw Kobe for those years, and that he got to live out his life professionally, you know, to the date, the way that he wanted to, and went out like a champion and was a champion multiple times. And, you know, there's not much more to say about it than that. I mean, I guess if you could turn it to, you know, to KG, where we're a little more familiar on a day-to-day basis with him, I mean, that would have been devastating to the city. And so we understand what they're probably feeling in L.A. I mean, he was just huge in that town. And, you know, you feel sorry for them and with them. And it's a tragic thing.
Yeah, and the way it sounds that he had really found, you know, something to keep his mind occupied, obviously with athletes, especially star athletes, it's tough to match the buzz you get from playing and dominating. And he had just told several friends not long ago that he had really found his inner peace. So on one hand, you go, man, that's, you know, that's too bad. But in the same breath, hey, man, he did find that inner peace and was happy at the moment. And he had fulfilled a lot of things. And so he went out happy. You know what I mean? Yeah, age 41 is really young. We know right now how young it feels. If you think about it, sometimes it feels old, sometimes it feels young. But as far as a lifetime, yeah, man, it is shocking. And to all those folks online that want to use this, you know, as their little I'm going to get replies on Twitter, the whole, oh, he shouldn't have been in a helicopter, he should have driven in a car. It's like, all right, dude, run the numbers on driving in cars and deaths and come back and tell me how that went. But anyway, like I said, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. No doubt about it. I liked how you put that with Rodgers and Favre. How you're like, you know, I did what when the game was on the line, and you know, I'm gonna watch Kobe, I'm gonna watch Favre, I'm gonna watch Rodgers. I'm gonna hate him for two times a year with Rodgers and Favre, but four times in the playoffs with those guys, you know. But like you said, ultimately respect, no doubt about it. We'll start on a positive note because we only have one, Aaron. Last seven games, Wiggins, 24 points, five, almost six boards, almost six assists, shooting 50%, 40% from the three. Whether he's in the long-term plans or he's not, whatever it is, he has lifted his stock as a player, whether it's trading or not. Okay. We got that out of the way. That was some positivity. Now, this is from Chris Long, KSTP, on Twitter. Some of these stats, dude, that loss, 133-129. I mean, this is crazy. This is exactly why we call it living in Loserville for all those folks that want to say, oh, I'm not even going to listen to it because of the name. Oh, no. They led by 27 late in the third quarter, 22 with 6 minutes left. By the way, there was a lot of three-pointers. They tied the record 41 apiece through three. I'm sorry, not through three. Three-pointers. 23, we actually set a record, 23 threes in a game. 36 points, like I said, seven threes by Wiggins. He was going off. Six threes by Covington. He was going off. The problem is, Buddy Hield was going off at the same time and just ate our lunch. But the stat that really stands out is that stat about, you know, I'll let you read it. I'll let you read it. That's the 17 points, 249 left in the fourth quarter since 96-97. Would you like to read that stat, sir?
I mean, I will. You know, it's – I'll read it and then I'll go into my thoughts here. It says, since 1996-97, the first year of play-by-play data, NBA teams entered the day 0-8, 378 when trailing by 17 or more in the final 3 minutes of the fourth quarter or overtime. So what I'm getting out of that is that was
378 times.
I couldn't even read it right because of the stat. So, yeah, so that's 1 in 8,378 times that happened. I mean, that's a special thing. I mean, you could put that on a T-shirt. You could market that. I mean, that is so rare that it boggles the mind. What do you say? Do you say lack of defense? Well, obviously. Do you say lack of effort? Very possibly. Do you say lack of competitiveness? Very possibly. I mean, what do you say about that? That isn't said in those numbers or the score itself or the timing of those, of that loss. I mean, you're hitting threes from everywhere. You're watching the game thinking, wow, we can't miss. We're up by a huge lead. We're going to coast through this one. You're right. Buddy Hield's kicking it too, but we got a 27 point lead, you know, and then it's broken down. Okay, we got 6 minutes. I mean, have you ever seen it? Obviously not, because in 8,378 times, that didn't happen. So it was a real special thing, I guess, if you want to put a positive note on. Otherwise, just miserable, man. I mean, what can you say that the numbers don't say, Chris?
You know, we took the starters out. That's how much we had this thing in the bag, and I wasn't yelling at them to put them back in. You know what I mean? And honestly, it probably wouldn't have mattered down the stretch, because once they start hitting them, it was just – I'll give Fox credit for that free throw, quick little bank off. That was dope. I'll give him that. Let's talk about Cat for a half a second. What we do know is – this never happened when KG was here. We know that, right? Because we got 96, 97. So that didn't I mean, as an 18-year-old kid, did it happen? I don't know. They didn't take the stats. I'm guessing not. I think that's pretty good odds, wouldn't you say? So it never happened. That would never happen to KG's squad, because he would just be like, you know what? I'll go on the court. You guys stay on the sidelines, and I'll get us a couple buckets down the stretch. Go F yourselves. I mean, if this isn't empty minutes, I don't know what is, or empty points, empty minutes, empty. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And, you know, I liked how they fought back a couple of games ago. You know, they didn't win the game, but they fought back. I like some of the things throughout the game. I like the Teague trade. I like certain things. I like where Culver is, but, you know, sure, we were 5 of 12 in the 17 games that Cat missed. We get it. We get that. But we've also lost 10 or 11 with him in the game. So, in a row. We went from Thanksgiving to Christmas. We went from major holidays without to the next major holiday without a win. Like, it was bad. Then it went from worse. Then it's just despicable. And I think mentally they're shot right now. You know, I don't think you can say or do much at this point. I think they're shot at this moment with all this losing, you know?
Well, to interject, it's like, how do you, after that performance, that one in particular and specifically, you know, how do you go to your locker, take a shower, drive home, and sleep after that, if you're competitive at all? You know, I'm thinking about a kickball game and something like that happens. I mean, how do you wake up the next day? I mean, just on your point that I think they're shot. I think you're right. I mean, how do you, I guess, bounce back? I mean, you have a lot of games left. But, you know, are we in tank mode, man? I mean, that's one explanation. It's not the only. But, I mean, it could possibly be. Or maybe they got into the mindset of, like, well, we're so far ahead, there's just no way we can lose this game. So they just went into coast mode, right, and just thought there was absolutely no way. I mean, it was 0 out of 8,378, you know, but I guess they were due. I just don't understand. It's very hard to fathom a professional franchise, with the exception of maybe 6 to 8 years, and I'm going to go low on that, probably 6 years, that has just dealt with and produced the kind of losing, I guess, and apathy that this one has. And I don't blame, you know, you were saying earlier off the air that the chat boards are kind of silent. Well, I guess I expect that at this point. I mean, they need to come out and tell us what their plan is, and they haven't done that. And until they do that, and we can see logically, or at least find some sort of logic in what's going on right now, I think people are just going to just put them down and hope that that they can maybe, you know, get back on the bandwagon again at some point. But they really need to explain to us what their logic is, and so we can have an understanding of what the future might hold or could hold, or at least what we're shooting at. Agree?
Yeah, I mean, in the off season though, when they made the changes out front and they made it official with Saunders, they did tell us what they're doing, and they did say that it's going to be with some struggle. Like we went off on that 3-point rant last show, and sure enough, they set the record for three. So, hey, I'll shut up sometimes. But I just don't need the squad taking 42 shots from the 3-point line if they're not hitting them during the game. That's great that we want to go into modern basketball the way it's played. That's phenomenal. That's fine. I think that fits Cat. I think that fits Wiggins better, especially if you got shooters, because then the floor is more open for Wiggins and all that. And he's playing pretty damn great, I'd say. But, yeah, I don't think it's tank mode because, you know, it's hard to – like I said last week, when you miss your star for 17 players, I can't really say tank mode. It's really hard to get a judge on it, but – I think that there were some growing pains they expected. Nothing like this, though. And just fitting the pieces together, we knew that they were retooling once they got rid of Jimmy. But a lot of people were like, yeah, man, we just got to get rid of Jimmy. He's number one at fault. And then I just asked, so how's life without Jimmy? Do you like 2 years ago? You may have not liked how we played, and it wasn't pretty enough for you, and it wasn't modern enough for you, but I'll tell you what, before he missed 20-some-odd games, we were third in the West, and we were a hard-nosed team, and Teague definitely fit a lot better into that system than he did in this one. Wiggins didn't. Well, why did we give him the extension? Maybe we should have stuck with this. Now, I'm all over the place, but Jimmy Butler – it wasn't as bad as people made it out to be, obviously. The proof is in the pudding. Look at what Miami's doing right now. Where are they at in the rankings? I think Jimmy's a pretty damn good player. Still the second best player to ever put on a Timberwolves jersey. Sorry if you don't like that.
Well, I'm on board with you, and I really think that, I mean, everything you said makes great sense. And I guess where I'm at is, in my confusion, is you like you said, Wiggins is improved his play this season, and yeah, Cat's been out, but Cat's back now. He's played really well offensively. You have 3 to 4 players to play with, and I'm not going to say it's coaching because it's just Saunders is just getting going here. So what could it be? Why are we losing? And that's a huge question, and we're not going to answer it tonight. But I feel like it has something to do with desire, competition, competitiveness, that kind of thing. Because I think you have enough parts to win 30 games, 35 games.
Easy. Dude, the eighth spot's not doesn't have a winning record right now. And may not. I mean, it'll be like a 500 club that gets in the eighth spot. Now that Zion's back, though. Hey, you know all those NBA ratings that were horrible? Huh, Zion comes back. It's the second biggest rating of the year. Huh, weird. But anyway, yeah, we have enough talent to get into the eighth spot. Since we made all the two separate horrible runs losing, we're going to have to pull off 6 in a row. I know it sounds impossible now, but down the stretch, we're going to need some. And they're going to make some trades. You know, we've been retooling. It's where we are contract wise. We know they weren't going to be able to sell the farm because we just couldn't do it. I think we're in much better shape at the trade deadline, and because we were sucked this year. That helps too. But you know, I think going into next year, retooling some more. You know, I don't know, man. It's kind of I knew this year was going to be a work in progress. I just didn't think it would be this bad, basically. Let's keep an eye on them for the next couple of weeks. Let's see what they do or try to do, at least, at the trade deadline, and then we'll go from there. And we're going to need to close with some positivity this year down the stretch. There's just no way around it.
I couldn't agree more, and I also think that at some point, you know, Culver's going to come into his own, and you have three pieces that are substantially really good pieces, and then you got a Kogi. I mean, you've got the pieces. We need to find out. I mean, even if we were losing games, Chris, 120, like the old Loyola Marymount, you know he plays defense, but we score the hell out of the ball. I mean, that's an option as well. But we're not doing that either. So
we're not scoring the ball at all. We've been with Cat the last couple of years. We've been in the top 10. We're actually mediocre at defense right now, but we're horrible on offense.
It boggles the mind, and like I said, we need some clarity. You and I, we're throwing out this, we're throwing out that, but we can't put our finger on what's going on. And we wish we just want to find some, I mean, you just got to find some footing with this franchise and with this club and with this direction. I think a lot of Timberwolves fans, including myself, are just looking for some, you know, solid ground to stand on and say, yeah, but this, you know, and we don't have the yeah, but this solidly yet. And we have a lot of questions, unanswered questions. We got four legitimate NBA players that I see on this team, and it's possibly five or six because you got Covington there. You know, you got a nucleus of maybe six, seven players there. So what's going on? I just don't understand. You know, besides the obvious lack of defense and some lack of hustle, but like I said, and I can't really say anything more than just the fact that, and I keep handing you these brick wall segues, but I mean, you could win 35 games with this squad, and that doesn't appear that that's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's a great way to put it as far as footing. That's what they need right now. The way you put it was great. Also, they need to just get some footing, get a win, and then go from there. And you're not going to be able to do anything. We're not going to be able to really break down too much stuff because it'll be just the same stuff over and over again without getting that first win and then putting 3 out of 5 and 6 out of 4 and that type of thing. But anything else left on the Minnesota basketball scene there, sir?
No, man. I think we can wrap the show up.
Well, it is a Minnesota show, Living in Loserville. We had the Purple People Eaters edition, which is Vikes heavy and Gophers at the back end. Now we're in the Timberwolves Gophers, but since it's still Minnesota sports, rest in peace to Chris Dolman. There was actually a password that I had to memorize recently. It had a 56 in it. Guess who I chose to remember it by name? Chris Dolman. So rest in peace. I believe it was a tumor that got him, so rest in peace to him. On the Gopher front, we did get ourselves a nice tight end, a top 20 tight end. Iowa wanted him. Wisconsin wanted him. Our guy Fleck got him. So there's some positivity. I found some positivity, Aaron. I found it.
Yeah, I mean, those are all positive things, and except for the Dolman thing,
yeah,
of course. And, you know, that's when, quickly, just an aside, man, I mean, brought up some names here that, geez, that was when we were just getting into sports, man. Dolman and Millard and those guys, those were the earliest Viking teams I remember. And you brought up another name, basketball player, I think, that was part of, like, the first. Was it Willie Burton? Yeah, I mean, that was, like, the first Gopher team that I remember. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of takes us back to be our younger years now. And then that's
old. Is what we're appearing here all of a sudden, huh?
I'm trying to, like, you know, weasel around that. But, yeah, man, it's been interesting, man. And, yeah, so rest in peace to Chris Dolman. And he was a force, man. And Henry Thomas and those guys, there's a wrecking crew there. And it was fun to watch those guys. So it was sad to see him go. But, you know, sorry for his family as well.
All right, we're out of here from the Living in Loserville podcast. We'll be back in around a week. You guys, try to enjoy some basketball. Take it easy. Peace.